Good day, and welcome to the SQM third quarter earnings 2013 conference call. All participants will be in a listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star and then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Gerardo Yanez, Vice President of Finance and Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good day, everyone, and welcome to SQM's third quarter 2013 earnings conference call. For your information, this conference call will be recorded and is being webcast live. You may access the webcast later on at our website, www.sqm.com. Joining me today as speakers are Patricio Contese, CEO, Patricio Sorbiniak, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer, and Ricardo Ramos, CFO. Before we begin, let me remind you that statements in this conference concerning the company's business outlook, future economic performance, anticipated profitability, revenues, expenses, or other financial items, anticipated cost synergies, and product or service line growth, together with other statements that are not historical facts, are forward-looking statements, as that term is defined under federal securities law. Any forward-looking statements are estimates reflecting the best judgment of SQM based on currently available information and involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those stated in such statements. Risks, uncertainties, and factors that could affect the accuracy of such forward-looking statements are identified in the public filing made with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and forward-looking statements should be considered in light of those factors. I now leave you with our CEO, Patricio Contese, for brief comments before we move to Q&A.
Good morning, and thank you for joining the SQM third quarter earnings conference call. I will start with a brief introduction before I open up the line for questions. On Tuesday evening, we post our results for the first 9 months of 2013. Earnings for this period reached $399.1 million, a decrease from $508.4 million reported for the same period last year. Revenues totaled $1,710.9 million, a decrease from 6.4% compared to the $1,828.2 million reported during the 9 months of last year. As you know, our results came in lower for the first 9 months of 2013 than for the first 9 months of 2012. Generally speaking, we saw significantly lower volumes in our chemical business lines such as lithium and iodine and lower prices in both of the potassium and SPN business lines. We were partially able to offset lower fertilizers prices with increasing sales volume in potassium chloride and potassium nitrate compared to the first 9 months of last year. Additionally, we saw relatively stable iodine prices and increased lithium prices when compared to the same quarter of last year. As mentioned in our press release on Tuesday, there has been a lot of noise, both good and bad, surrounding the potassium chloride market in the months following the announcement from Uralkali. During the third quarter, we saw prices pressure on the potassium chloride in various geographical markets, and we'll continue to monitor this trend. Our third quarter sales volume were over 50% higher than sales volume seen in the third quarter of 2012. We continue to believe that the market demand is the most important indicator when assessing the potash market, and trust that total demand levels in 2014 will surpass the year's level. We remain confident about the long-term prospect of the potassium chloride market. On the last earnings conference call, I said that we expected that lower prices of potash could have a moderate impact on the prices scenarios in the potassium nitrate market. This held true. Potassium nitrate prices have remained relatively stable within an unstable and uncertain potash market. The market for chlorine-free potassium-based fertilizer remains healthy and strong. And for this reason, we saw sales volume up for the first 9 months of 2013 when compared to 2012. In the iodine business, sales volume were lower than expected as competitors sold more volume as a result of new capacity. With limited public information available from our competitors, we do not have a clear view on supply growth in the future. In addition to this new supply, demand growth in 2013 is expected to be less than what we had originally anticipated. Looking toward the future, we still believe in the fundamentals behind the iodine market and believe demand should grow. Regarding lithium, our sales volume are down for the first 9 months of 2013 compared to 2012, but prices will have crept up when compared to last year. Our sales volumes in the third quarter were up close to 30% more than the average sales volume seen during the first half of 2013. We believe this market to be stable. Market growth is expected to be between 5 to 10% in 2013 compared to 2012. In industrial chemicals, volumes are down as solar salt sales are expected to be approximately 100,000 metric tons less in 2013 than in 2012. However, we do see a big interest in the market and expect sales volume for solar salts to return through negotiations that are going on at this time. And we expect that commitment should be seen in 2015 onwards. The long-term prospect in the solar salt market remain positive. Recently, we teamed with a leading global management consultant in an effort to reduce costs company-wide. We are proud of the results we achieved as various initiatives were implemented at all levels of SQM. The company is moving in the right direction, reducing costs and improving its productivity. Finally, our capital expenditure estimate for 2013 is $400 million, down from the previous estimate of $500 million. SQM is finalizing its capital expenditure for the plan of 2012 and will make this public after the Board of Directors has reviewed and approved it. It is anticipated that the amount will be significantly lower anyhow than the final amounts to be seen in 2013. Apart from the capital expenditure and opportunities related to expansion, we have also signed various agreements with different companies who are engaging in exploration within our mining asset in the north of Chile. Many of these agreements encompass a portion of the northern Chilean iron oxide copper gold belt and could offer some diverse values in the future. As I have said it before, and I will reiterate it in this morning, for all of the major markets in which we sell potassium chloride, potassium nitrate, lithium, and iodine, we expect market demand to be greater in 2013 than in 2012. For this reason, we are optimistic about the long-term fundamentals of the company. We have access to abundant natural resources, and we will maintain our long-term management approach in all our business lines. We remain focused on maximizing margins and shareholder value. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patricio. Operator, we will now go to the Q&A session.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star and then two. At this time, we'll pause momentarily to assemble our roster. And our first question is from Juan Torres of Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. My first question is regarding your pricing over volume strategy. Just wondering if there's a limit in terms of your market share losses in lithium and iodine to where you'll revisit that strategy and maybe we'll start seeing better volume activity with potential pricing pressure more aggressively here going forward. I don't know if you can share your thoughts on that.
There are limits in what can be done in the try to equilibrate supply and demand, and we are always focusing on self what measure could be the best result in a square, not just for 1 year, but for the medium term. So clearly this policy is revised every time, and our conclusion will be in the best result for SQM. Exactly what we will do or not, I will not make any comment on that, but we are reviewing always this policy, and we will take the decision that could make the best benefit for S2M.
And just to understand, in the lithium segment specifically, I know you noted that you expect the market to grow by around 5%, but what's your expectation in terms of your potential market share in that environment?
Well, we see that we are going downward because the production, there are newcomers in the market. There's more production in China, some newcomers in Canada, Australia. So we see a trend that our participation in relative terms will not increase.
Okay, great. And just my last question on CapEx. You're saying here you're reducing CapEx by essentially $100 million from your initial guidance. Where are you reducing that CapEx specifically? Should we be kind of looking at your future volume growth impact on that? And second, could you give us a sense how much is your maintenance CapEx?
Well, related to CapEx, of course, due to the situation, we have become much more strict in reviewing what is absolutely necessary, and also in some way the trend in the market of cost of CapEx have declined too in Chile because the investment in mining is declining. So in that sense, it's helping us to invest somewhat less. Related to the CapEx, maintenance CapEx, I will give you just the depreciation we have is $220 million approximately. That doesn't mean that the CapEx, maintenance CapEx is that. We think it's lower, significantly lower than that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Our next question is from Cesar Perez Nevada, BTG Pactual. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just continuing with the CapEx guidance, I know that you're not providing any specific number here, but would that bring any implication on your iodine and lithium expansions, which, if I recall correctly, on the second quarter conference call, you mentioned that you were actually discussing this on the board. If you could provide your outlook, that would be very helpful. And I have another question there. If you could also provide some indication on where potassium nitrate prices stand today and what outlook could we see from that division in 2014. Thanks.
Well, related to the CapEx in iodine or lithium, the basic things are done. Now, when I say the basic things are done, first, environmental approvals are done. Secondly, a very important part of that investment has already been done that is related with water. So that installation already exists. Mm-hmm. So what you can postpone, let's say, is some, to try more mine with more tracks, etc. And clearly, those things have been postponed, but that can be put in place very rapidly if it is their need in the market. But the basic things of the investment, the more strategical thing of the investment, has already been done. But of course, we will not carry on all those things that today we see a situation of oversupply in the market. So those things clearly will be postponed, but for us to do the volumes we said before is relatively easy in time and money. In terms of the price of potassium nitrate, I will not like to say. Price of potassium nitrate today are in the range of $970 to $1,000 per metric. This is about $40 less than previous year. And if you compare to what much has declined potassium chlorine, really we have been able more or less to in certain way to maintain relatively our price. On the other hand, we had increased marginal volumes to even that situation.
Okay, thank you very much. And if I may, just a final a question here. On your solar salts, you actually mentioned earlier that your volume growth, you're expecting some pickup in volume growth in 2015. What about next year?
Not next year, because we are today in negotiation a new contract that we estimate, but just estimates, in the range of 100,000 metric tons will come back in 2015.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Not from next year.
Okay. Thanks.
Our next question is from Ben Isaacson of Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Three questions. My first question is, can you describe the cost savings program that you are undertaking with these management consultants? What specifically are you targeting, and what kind of costs are we seeing?
Well, we are... it's not the first time, we have done several times in our history, restructuring of company and work hard in our cost and clearly due to the situation, we thought that this was an effort that the company should do again. We think that our objective... We think that we should be in a cash saving next year in the range of $50 million.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. My second question is shipping potash to the U.S. market. Are you doing that right now, and can you kind of describe the difference in the netback between Brazil and the U.S.? Obviously, Brazil prices have fallen quite rapidly, but in the U.S. they haven't, and so maybe netbacks are seeming more attractive there.
We sell not too much in the U.S. The main market has been Brazil, but we really sell all around the world. But our main market has become Brazil.
But is the netback there better than the U.S., given the fact that the Brazilian prices have fallen much faster?
Similar. We don't see a significant difference.
Okay, thank you. And then my final question is just on iodine. You talked about it's difficult to see how future supply develops over the coming years. Can you talk about what the state of the market is right now? How much excess supply do you see, and kind of where are prices right now?
Prices are today in the range of 45 to 50 this moment. we thought at the beginning that this year demand would grow in the range of 8 to 4%, between 2 and 4, but it became at the lower range of 2%. In the case of supply, it's not easy for us to have information, because some of the companies are private companies, as well, there is no availability of public information. We have seen that anyhow, Alberta, that now is making publicly the information that the volume has not increased that much. In the case of Atacama and Minerals, we see a stable situation in terms of supply. A little bit increased this year for more production. We don't know exactly of how much of that production are selling anyhow. We see Kosayach increasing the volumes and Bull Mine too. But exactly the numbers, how much more are producing, is hard to obtain.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question is for Fernando Ferreira of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Patricia, I wanted to understand a little bit better this
the volume decline that you saw in lithium beginning of this year, and then the improvement that you saw in the third quarter. Was there any specific reason for this improvement in volumes? And also you mentioned that prices were 22% higher during the third quarter, so I wanted to understand a little bit better there on the price and volume for lithium.
Clearly, we entered the negotiations at the end of last year to try to increase prices to our customer, and that created difficulties in terms that they accepted those new prices. So that created about the first semester, a tendency in having lower volumes. But finally, demand has been growing, and even though there are more suppliers, on the other hand, and prices that we tried to allocate at the beginning of the year now, also the customer are accepting because of equilibrium between supply and demand. So we see we were able to obtain those bigger volumes already by the third quarter. But clearly, it was not easy to introduce this new price because we felt lower volume sale during the first semester because of this main reason.
Okay, thank you. And then I just wanted to confirm, what's the current share of Brazil in your overall potash sales?
It's in between 35% to 40%.
Okay, and do you still expect to reach near 50% or not?
We will see. We are really not looking for an exact number. What we look what is the best economic combination. If it come out to be that 50 is the best, we will be 50. If it come out to be 30, we'll be 30. So that depends on the opportunities and better return that we can obtain with our product. So the objective is not real a number, it's an economical number.
Okay, perfect. I just had one last question to follow up on the CapEx side. Do you think we could see CapEx going closer to maintenance levels over the next 2 years, or we should still expect higher than maintenance?
In general, I would say conceptually we will go to maintenance CapEx.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Our next question is from Wesley Brooks of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hey, just one question from me on iodine. Just, you know, you talked about prices easing partly because of the higher supply, but also demand being at the low end of the range. Do you think that the lower demand has been due to the high prices in the last year or two? Or were there other factors that were really impacting the demand?
Our view that we think that high prices has affected has been done some explanation with elasticity.
Okay, and then, so I guess this comes down to you've been testing the elasticity of demand, and those prices were a bit high, so. How should we think about this going forward? At what level do you feel demand starts to pick up again to be running at, you know, sort of 4% plus?
We have our numbers in our mind, but I apologize that I cannot give it to you because at this same moment we are negotiating with our clients for the contract for next year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I cannot give you the range of what we think would be a price that could stabilize the situation that you're talking about.
Okay, understood. But then, so I guess from Q1, we should be able to see whatever the, or have a good indication of what the new level will be.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, at this time, this will end our question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you all very much for joining us today, and we hope to have you with us in the next conference call. Goodbye. Goodbye.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.